He is horrible.
He went to bed early last night.
Is there anything the purists would say in Antrim? Now, maybe there is.
You're right. If ABB is the giveaway, that's all.
Now, so the person who has to have an entry in the computer, what do we say about high APVs? You can take a great deal of latitude in going back to find a race. So if you have to do it, obviously the horse broke its maiden in, over today's purse. It sure hasn't done anything since. But it broke its maiden over today's purse. Now, try to tell you to reconcile that you can go back for a maiden win after three bad attempts, two of which were exactly at this level, would be stretching your credulity, would it not?
Yes.
Okay, to tell you that it's a damn good place bet because statistical evidence over 14 years has told us that when they have that kind of a purse advantage, that the horse has a high chance of placing. And should never be left out of an exacta wheel press or a quinella wheel in Las Vegas, is a fact, and should not stretch your credulity had you been doing this on a regular basis. Sir?
On those three races after the maiden win,
uh-huh.
when you've come up with about the same APV and had the same situation, and said, gee, I'll bet the place horse. I'll bet it the place. And you've been wrong.
Sure. So how often do you, tell them you get a 72-1 for one horse 25% of the time? Fortunately, I wasn't, but on those same days when that horse did not place, I bet there was 187% of place in some other race, so it balances out. Yeah, don't use, if you go to apply that kind of logic, then you're an automatic winner because you're playing absolute percentages. You're going to say, you never, you always zag, never zig, you know, and you're going to be playing percentages. In the today's circumstance, I don't know that it was 187% of those purses to begin with.
Yeah.
See, 187 is relative to today's purse. In that allowance race, I'll guarantee it wasn't 187.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, no.
And I don't know what these other horses, what they're, yeah. Well, that's the claiming value. Let's say that in those two races, you would not have had the horse. But you might have had another one that race was 218% in purse. Don't be giving me back these statistics. I'll give the statistics. You listen.
I was in charge of making up all statistics.
Yeah. All amusement to the contrary, the wise man over here will tell you how many place horses we have just purely on this?
Well, I gotta admit it was in Omaha. I think it was practically every race. I think it was one race where the high APV horse won.
Yes, it was one. But when they win, they also place.
Yes, they do.
Now, there is nothing I don't think in traditional management.
You're absolutely right.
Did I give you a bet?
Hey, you can't argue with that.
That's what Zimp is based on.
You don't have to put up with this crap.
When I call on you now, I want you to do it. Turn to page 17. I like when you're presenting a concept, they should be presented as much as possible in sequence. In other words, a statistic that is taken from one race at Hawthorne in April, one in May in San Francisco, and one in June in Hollywood Park, and one in February in Florida, does not really necessarily show anything. But the sequence of races, if there's something, a pattern emerges, it has some validity. Well, this was a one-day sportsman, Bob Cocker, brought with him. And it goes from the second through the eighth. I lost the ninth, and the first was a maiden. You'll notice in the second race, this happened to be, in this case, the winner. And if the odds are low, you have the horse a lot of reason, but by putting APV on every page, you look at 108 relative to the closest thing to it, which is scratch. So the closest thing to it is not very high. You go to the next race, you see 248 with a bunch of 68, 72, 68, 69, 90 is the closest thing to it. Wind, dusty wind, places, not high odds on it there either. But it just doesn't mean that the same situation won't reoccur when the odds are high, as they will later. And it goes on, and you come to Carroll's inheritance, one, 141%. The next race, 143 and 139, are the two standouts, and they win in place. Getting a little bit of better price. Go to the next one. 111%, not high, except the fact the others are so low, so it stands out. And then, this one's pretty hard to see, but 125% is joy underneath the falls. Go ahead. Joy underneath the falls places, pay seven something place, not bad. Looks to me like they must have had a dead heat here.
Yeah.
That's when the guy says, you can't bet two horses and make any money. And he said, well, then the next thing comes dead heat. Yeah, the seventh, 91 is high. It shows you how low the other ones are. The other ones have done virtually nothing. But what does the nine do? Places. Look at the price on that one. That was worth the whole day, wasn't it? 1780 place price. A standout in the race. On that alone. This is not indigenous to sportsmen. Bianca, 740 to 1, they 640 to place. The prevalence of horses that place, and to a lesser degree, win. When they're the dominant APV horse in the race, is by itself a very, very viable statistic. And I wouldn't kid you on that because I get lots of mail from somebody that says, I never use APV, and you'd be hard to know on me. And because at the Omaha seminar, they want us to help them handicap the funny car. And I said, anybody who didn't do their APVs, out in the hall and get them done, because I'm not going to help you if you haven't done it. That's the first thing we're going to look at. In fact, the only thing I looked at, I didn't open the form until that morning. Then they picked the contenders, as you would do in a similar situation. We went over the pace line. We went over the race confirmation of how it was going to shape up, depending on whether it was early or low, I mean early or late. And they, within the group, everyone they had a winner in every race. Not everybody had the same one. There's always difference of opinion. But somebody at the table, 27 people, had the winner and the exacted in every race.
Where was that?
Omaha, XR. Omaha. Well, that's not an unusual procedure. If all of us got together at Santa Anita or Hollywood Park or something, we'd probably have the winner in every race, every non-main race. Even some of those huge ones, I had it. I've got to show you some figures. He had the Glenn Smog, he had the $70 horse last Sunday, right on top. I mean, so it happens. It's a matter of interpretation, a matter of free moral agency as to how you enter a phase.
You have too much practice, that's why you get them. It takes time for that.
Well, the group process sometimes overrides that. The group energy sometimes sees things that individual does.
What do you mean by group energy?
Group energy, what you got right here. You're helping to charge this group with energy.
Oh, I see.
With abilities that supersede their own individual ability. But the problem with that problem is, what creates a problem is, that the group must be led by a person with experience in leading groups, otherwise they go...
Yeah, like the sheep led by the goat.
Yeah.
Oh, stop with your horn, Doc.
Going back to that Nam Care, Doc, wouldn't the fact that all of those purses that he acquired that 187 were from maiden races, which are relatively higher in push anyway than...
Not necessarily, but yeah. I know where he got the money. As James, I'll let James say it, because he said it so much better. He says, don't reason why if it's in the methodology and you're going to be a methodologist, use it. Yeah, I know where he got it. And I know that that there was a lot of, it just happened to luck out that that day didn't work. It might not have worked, but what I'm saying is that in the seventh race, the similar situation would have produced comparable. You can't be isolated, because if you start taking it apart, all you're saying was really that that horse, before it got into the company of winners, had two fourths, a third, and a first, and that's its whole life, that's what it did. But it was well thought of and well placed to make money before it had this big come down after coming in 29 lengths behind the Dallas field. And the owners said, well, this horse is really a $12,000 claimer, isn't it? It may never do anything again. I was just glad to have it on that day. I said, oh, Gordon Jones, in one of his books, said that. He said, if you're going to wait until after the horse has done it, the public is going to be on it. What you've got to do is anticipate what the horse may do before anybody senses it and get on it then. And when you're anticipating before, you're not going to have a very high average. I mean, you're not going to get 33% of the public does from hindsight if you're looking ahead of time. But when you do get a winner, it's going to be a very paying situation. And this horse happened to be 70 to 1. That's another aspect of this. When one of these tools we provide points to a horse, and the odds on it also say 72 to 1, and this is where I caution people. A lot of our people say, I'm going to put a win on it, bet on that horse. And then even if it's only $2, you know? Well, if you're going to go win, you better go across the board. Because you better realize that the statistics on these horses is very heavily oriented to place and show, not to win. It's always, you know, it is a fact, and it is a fact that defies reasoning. So if you try to put reason to it, as you just did, and good reason, then the fact is diminished in its effectiveness. Jim says it much better than I can.
Yeah, the difference between implementing a methodology and handicapping is a really significant difference. What I've said to this group a number of times, you know, the problem talking to the audience is, like, from my point of view, is there's such a variation within the group itself. There's some beginners and there's some people who've been playing for 3 to 5 years, there's some people who've been playing for a long time. People that have been playing for a long time, what they've done is they've learned to look at the methodology itself, and they've learned through their own experience how they can improve it by discounting this and enhancing this, and they go through this process a lot. But the beginning type player should basically just implement the methodology the way it's designed to be implemented until you have enough experience to be able to make those trade-offs in a way that really does improve your game and not subverts the power of the method or the methodology. So APB is a good example. I mean, I can think of a lot of groups of horses where APB could be very, very misleading. And I could get up here and say, well, geez, if you use APB, first of all, it has this conceptual problem. It measures consistency more than it measures ability, which I think Queer has demonstrated that. And I could say it doesn't apply to imports, and it probably doesn't apply to young, lightly raced horses, because you get too many distortions. And all of that's kind of talking about handicapping, basic guidelines of handicapping. But if you've got a method called the Sarkin methodology that's been studied empirically, and it uses this thing called APB in a certain way, and over a long, long period of time, it's been demonstrated that if you use it in this way, you'll make this amount of money and get approximately this amount of winners. You know, that's why you do empirical research, to learn those things. This horse, Mantir, is an outstanding example. There is no way you can get this horse on using basic principles of handicapping in the placeholder. I don't see any way you can get that horse in the placeholder. I would discount that horse in no time. The only way you can get it is to have a methodology that says, geez, this horse has an APB factor that is extremely high in this situation, and we've learned from past performance that if we use that factor this way, over a long period of time, we're going to make a lot of profit. And now the horse is big odds on the board, and you use it just because the method has demonstrated that that's the way this kind of horse is to be used, and it works again. It doesn't work all the time, but it works enough of the time to yield a substantial profit. And so if you're a novice with the method, or you're really just 3 to 5 years along and you're still having problems with the implementation, my bias, and it's a very strong one, I've said it here before a few times, is that you implement the methodology the way it's supposed to be implemented. Until you've got enough experience that you can make your own trade-offs in a way that improves your game. And you convince yourself that you can do that. Until that time, just do it the way you're supposed to.
Thank you.
May I ask you a question? About this methodology, the old method says 0.2 for the win, 0.6 for place, and point something for...
Went around backwards.
You got backwards, huh?
Yeah.
0.6?
0.6 for win, or 0.55.
Oh,
0.2 for
sorry.
The standard is 60-20-10.
But why Mr. Curran?
Yeah, he changed it around.
He changed it. 0.2 for win, 0.45 for place, and 0.8 for...
I tried that, it didn't work.
Did you read him? Did you read what he said?
Yeah.
I have not really given you an APV formula. I've given you an arbitrary formula that really has nothing to do with APV.
Right.
He said that too. See, that's the trouble with reading books and quoting to the guy who's read them also.
That's why I want to be corrected.
What he said, he was giving you an arbitary formula which he had found to be superior for his purposes.
Yeah, that's right, he said.
But not
it's superior than the old formula, which is 0.6.
Yeah, but it was not a superior APV formula, because he said it really has nothing to do with APV. It's just another formula. And it was to get the horse on top when we win. Read what I say, you don't get in a minute, but read what I say in the back here. I have a great deal of respect for William Curran, and I hope he has for me too. But I've said the indictments against APV made by Dr. William Curran and by John Meyer, who did a similar thing, were based on the win percent of only the number one rank in the category. Our application is entirely different. And the thing is, the guy comes up to me. We have one of us kind of drunk. But John Meyer says, Rohammer says, that's the method we use. He's appeasing this drunk. Rohammer says, hey, and all through the evening, he would keep saying, in the stretch concept, he was quoting all these stuff of Meyer. This guy was getting, he loves the book. Yeah, those guys are marvelous in their own, what they're doing. But we cannot use
their
statistics for our application. John Meyer did a study once where factor X worked with him.
Yeah.
Our people find factor X very valuable. The reason was he was taking in a small sampling, the best race, the best finish in the last 60 days. We don't take the best finish in the last 60 days. And he was measuring only number one. He got 90% with number one. What if he got 50% with number two? The top two of them 69. He didn't, I'm sure. He didn't look into number two, so nobody knows what. When you're only looking at number one, none of these statistics have much validity. But when you're looking at we look at parameters, the top four.
General.
Well, we only look at specific parameters, the top four or five. All of our parameters in our rich study were based on how often the top four of any category would produce the winner. Then we felt that if you supply a concept of methodological concept that will isolate the best of the top four or five, then into two, a cluster of only two, you have got it. So it really is very simple how to be successful. Get it down to five, bet two of them, and you got a 60% chance right off the bat. See?
Right.
And now you just merely isolate it a little better so that you know which two to bet, and you add a few points, and you got 63%. With a minimum amount of, believe me, a lot of our people do.
60 times your five, getting the five in the first place.
Hmm?
You get 90% of getting the five.
Then you got to do 70%.
No. I mean, you got a percentage of getting five, picking the right five. You got 60% of that, basic.
No, we can pick the five now. Dick is going to be up here in a minute. 95% of the time.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. We'll get it down to five. that's pretty easy. Many days, 100% of the time.
Yeah.
In fact, when we don't get it down to five, it comes as a shock to us. But this is, once again, James Quinn's area. He thinks that, to him, the stuff that we have the biggest problem with is automatic. He'll talk about it, which is baseline stuff. See, when we went into this, we thought everybody already knew a lot. What we want to do was to take everything they already knew and just refine it. And I was right, but I'm not right about the general public. I'm right about people like Quinn and Meyer and the other ones. They taking a pace line of them was, doesn't everybody? And that's what I thought, too. And I was wrong. Incorrect. Everybody doesn't say they want a pace line. Most people say, boy, go back here, look at what Ray Thomas said, take the best race, you go like this, he's got a 98 speed rating. Well, I'm going to bet him. So I got a big shot, but I learned how to tell people. I said, how do you pick a pace line before you bet me? I didn't. That took me back, because I thought everybody was picking a pace line in the whole world. Why would all those people out there with that money and spend it if they weren't picking a pace line? How were they doing it? Well, I learned a lot more from you than you learned from me. All right, now we've discussed APV and we've discussed the other elements of our class approach, our classical class approach, let's say. I would still suggest, no matter what some of the more renowned of the experts do, even in our own group, that you not abandon putting down the APV figures on every horse. If it does nothing else for you, at least will give you cause to look. And we're going to put a race on the board, at least one horse's line on the board today, where you could go back and find a good reason for it to place. It was not like a Dan Tree where it was a blind stab. But we had a reason. And they would never have seen the reason had we not seen that it was 241% of purse. Just seeing that number makes you go to work.
Yes, it was it was Friday or Saturday. Anyway, in the I believe it was the ninth race, and I happened to run an APV on that race, and a state came up with this over 200%, right? Okay, but it hadn't been out since I believe the 29th, which was okay, but they only had I think 2 3/8 works, but you could see a race, two races at 6.5 furlongs in the turf, that not you know that would put the horse first, second, or, you know, put it up in the top three, okay? Now, in a situation like that, is that, and I think the horse wound up going off at 61, but the point is this, if you see he has this whopping figure on APV, you see a race way back in April or February or January that you can use to put it on top, but it hasn't been out in a month and a half with only, it's 8 years old and it only has 2 3/8 works. But what I'm saying is,
what did he do in the race?
He won.
He won. Yeah.
That's your answer.
In Omaha,
thank God. You'd have blown my whole thing. Thanks, you go out and get your 27 from Actors Equity.
In Omaha, Howard figured the APV on a horse and said, well, I didn't like this year, it hadn't been out much, so I went back and used last year. He didn't use last year, he used 1985. He noticed the horse had been off 14 months.
Okay, what I'm saying here is that, okay, even if you can look at that and you can say, all right, so I can see this horse, I can put him on my pace figures one or two. And even if he's not one or two, I can arbitrarily put him in an exact eye play.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to do is ask Tom, is that the type of race you want to speculate on? Is that the type of?
Can I say something about APV? I don't mean to oppose anything I do on the rest of you in terms of APV. I just don't use it any longer. But for a good 2 years, when I was first getting serious about the game, I used it as the central core of my own methods, and I handicapped around the APV numbers. In other words, I took the first one, and if that wasn't satisfactory in terms of form and condition, the rest of it, I went to the second one and did the third one. It worked. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm just not using it for part of my own play, but I'm certainly not going to discourage you from using it, because it does point out a lot of good things. I would have never picked up Dan Terre. as opposed to Dan Tree. I would not have picked up Dan Terry.
No,
what I'm saying, $2 every year, what you call.
I agree. I mean, I, no, what I'm, I would what not I'm, have picked that up in my own place.
What I'm asking is in this particular race, even though you can see, I mean, you can see after you run APV, and the state has this huge figure, but it hasn't been out since the 29th of May, it only has 2/3 works, even if you can see that you put this horse in, he's going to be first or second, either probably early. But what I'm saying is that, is this the type of, would you rather pass that race, and or is that a race that you would bet?
Yeah, I looked at the, because I got back from San Francisco Friday afternoon, so I looked at the Friday races and kind of handicapped them, even though I hadn't.
Friday, this is the day.
Okay. The key to that race was partly a state's APV. There, you see, you're not going deep enough into that race.
Yep.
If you look at that race, you'll also find that there were three horses with a lot of matching speed
that had
to have the lead.
Right, I noticed that.
The state was not one of them. The state's perfectly capable of coming off the pace. So his APV, coupled with the running style and the matchup in that race, makes the state highly playable.
Okay, so in other words, what you're saying is that...
It's just one piece in the puzzle, that's all, and that's what Howard's trying to say here. It's a major piece, and I will tell you one, where you play, Yarrow,
yeah.
In Northern California, yeah. When I handicap the Northern California races when I'm in Las Vegas and doing them regularly, I got to admit I'm a closet APV player because I use the APV up there to help me in the structure that I'm not quite as familiar with as I am here.
A lot of people in the closet.
So in other words, even...
I agree. Eh?
So in other words, even...
I came out with a glass of water is when I came out, not really to respond, but go ahead. No, there isn't.
In other words, even if a state or an animal similar to a horse, similar to a state in this situation, even if it goes up in smoke, so you don't say, well, I knew I should have did it a month and a half, two, three. In other words, that type of situation is a betting situation.
Probably.
Over a long period of time.
Probably, yeah.
You'll make money on that
type
of situation.
I mean, if the race matches up wrong for him, the ABV is probably not going to overcome that. But the point is that with all of those pieces in a puzzle, he outclassed the team.
That, exactly.
Well, you can justify it with figures as well as just the ABV. You've got a double whammy.
Sure. And he's not outlandish. He's not like Nan Terre.
Right.
Okay.
Because remember, horses with a high APV, higher class measurement,
he was right,
better against any kind of base.
Trust the trainer who put him there.
Yeah, you say trainer in here, I'll throw you.
That is a fellow who takes the worst trainers. Yeah. But they somehow, I don't know, because he
makes
them or something, they come out, if not the first, third time around for Radioletta. I said, how the hell you take these lousy trainers here in sports? I don't believe in the lousy trainer, like, or I, Christensen, Albert.
I don't know.
It happens once.
I was bending over to
the horses. You're getting trained by lousy trainers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Your handicapping service, the one you put out in San Francisco.
Yeah, the one I say absolutely bet the horse to watch.
Yeah. And I look at the trainer, I say, boy, why he picked such a horse?
Don't look at the trainer.
I picked the horse.
Don't say, don't look at the trainer, because there are a few trainers like,
yeah, but they don't have, when did one of those trainers produce you a baseline?
Jerry Hollendorfer, boy, if you go against their horses.
You're putting the cart before the horse, or the trainer before the horse. When did one of the horses trained by one of those trainers give you a baseline that would suggest he was going to win? Just tell me how.
Look at his early pace, looks at sustaining pace, and I look at the average pace, as I see.
Yeah, but and when you get a horse that's on top, is he ever trained by a bad trainer?
Well, very seldom.
Okay, good answer.
The horses to watch that I send out are horses that did better than the par charts and everything said they should have done. And I send that out saying, look at this horse next time.
Yeah, right. You are looking for the horses who did better than the average par. That's it.
Better than the average bear. You're right.
Okay. I'm going to win next time.
But he didn't write
the
trainer.
That doesn't mean, I sent out Valdez.
But many times, the lousy trainer has a damn good horse.
And
it never comes. He doesn't know how to train.
Well, Valdez got beat yesterday, but the horse in here with him had a better figure.
Okay. Carol.
But he got beat a hit, yeah.
And then you come into a room and turns into a sham.
I don't know. I can't even get a glass of ice water.
Well, I don't know why you came in to answer that man's question.
Well, we spent a lot of time on the board yesterday with a horse called Summer Dress. And Summer Dress got beat yesterday.
Yes, he did. Oh.
Yes, but and there's a very clear reason after I see the racing form, but we were talking about Summer Dress and relating it to what we were doing up here. What we weren't doing was looking at the whole race. There was a horse in that field that was capable of going 21-2 to the quarter. So we're drawing 22 flat, 44-4 without looking at the whole field. So now I got to send out a word of apology to the group yesterday saying we should have looked at the whole field before we saw how strong this horse might be. Because there was a horse capable of running its legs up in the first quarter mile. The race is over. I mean, there's races that got to match up. If anybody's playing those horses to watch lists blindly, I'm going to just shut them off because I warned everybody in advance. I'm going to send them out, but you have to handicap the races.
We're writing a letter to Phillips saying you picked the wrong horse.
That's right. I didn't mean anything by this. I just came out to get some of that better water. Mary sent me out. She said the water was better out here.
At some address yesterday, I had the second place horse, but I missed the first. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you got it to place?
Yeah. I had, yeah. I, oh, yeah.